This is Doug Miller. Holiness, without which no man shall see God. What's that mean? Stick around, let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time with the Word of God in hand to tell forth the truth and to tell forth God's Word and to receive the promise, namely that it will not return to Him void. So whoever you are, wherever you are, listen in. This is life-changing stuff. Believe me, it is of God. And there's a great blessing in just hearing his word. Now, we would urge you, we're in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, and I'm going to take it up at verse 14 today. This is where we ended last time. Didn't really have time to get into it as much as I wanted to, so we'll just pick it up there again and talk about this business of holiness. So bring your Bibles, come along, call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out. And, of course, as any faith ministry, we are utterly dependent on our listeners. We covet your prayers. The more people we can get praying for us, the more we like it, and the better off things will be. So write our names now. Pray for us. Tell people about us, and in every way that you can, just encourage our ministry. We just desire this very much, and I think the Lord will bless you for it. We would love to hear from you. Of course, our mailing address is Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, just keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. All right. Holiness. Follow holiness, says the book, without which no man shall see the Lord. And boy, this is another one of those verses that seem to abound in the book of Hebrews that has caused a lot of controversy and disagreement over the years. Actually, I think the meaning is rather simple. But what seems simple to me doesn't seem simple to others. And when I tell you the simple meaning of this verse, I'm sure there are those of you out there that will disagree with me. Now, it's important to emphasize something that, of course, if you've been listening to Dialogue for any time at all, you know that I emphasize all the time. And if you listen to any Christian minister of the gospel or any Christian teacher that is worth his or her salt, they will all emphasize this to you. And it is that salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, that quotation there is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and many of you know that one. Many of you also know what Paul wrote to Titus in chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, if there's something all Christians ought to agree on, it is that salvation is by grace, through faith, apart from works. You cannot work your way to heaven, friends. And you need to make up your minds right now. Is salvation by works or is it by grace? And if it is by works, then make it works. But if it's by grace, make it grace. But you can't make it both. It's one or it's the other. And if you don't believe what I just said, go back and read what Paul said in the book of Romans. It's one or it's the other. Read what Paul wrote to the Galatians. You say, well, you know, and I know there are a lot of denominations out there right now that teach, basically, Yes, you are saved by grace through faith, but you are kept by your own works. You are kept by following the will of God and holding on to this salvation, and if you don't, you'll fall away and be lost again. I know that there are many out there teaching this. In fact, most of those who today are calling themselves Christian are teaching something like that. The man sitting at this mic is teaching nothing of the sort. And, you know, you can disagree with me. You can say, well, that's false teaching. Fine. If you can show it to me in the scriptures, then I'll throw in with you. But you cannot, because it is not in there. Now, you have heard me say many times before on here also, if you have a passage of scripture that you don't understand, compare it with another passage of scripture on the same subject that you do understand, that is clear. And John chapter 6 is very clear on this business of the eternal security of the believer. It is very clear. And these are Jesus' own words. He said it. I didn't say it. This is the Father's will, that all that come unto me, I should lose none, but raise him up at the last day. He repeats that over and over again throughout that chapter. Those that come to him are drawn by the Father. They didn't just jump up one day and decide to come to Jesus. You know, I think we place a great deal too much emphasis on this business of decision-making. There's nothing wrong with emphasizing that. You are obligated to hear the gospel and respond. But look, if you hear the gospel and respond, you're doing it for one big main reason. Not because you made some decision so much as because you were drawn by the Holy Spirit. And once again, if you don't believe that, go back and read the 6th chapter of John. No man can come unto me, said the Lord Jesus, except the Father that sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, friends, you can't get around that. I don't know why anyone would want to get around that, except that there are a lot of theological systems out there that are predicated on the assumption of some kind of a mixture of grace and works. And a lot of you, you know, I mean, you're in churches where preachers have gone to seminaries that teach this, and they have just got a commitment to it, and so much so that I'm afraid they cannot see the truth if it hits them between the eyes. Now, where Jesus has spoken clearly, and he did speak clearly, you cannot come along later on and say, but that's contradicted by Hebrews. It is not contradicted by Hebrews, because the Word of God does not contradict itself. And therefore, this 14th verse of the 12th chapter of Hebrews does not mean and does not say that unless you are following holiness, that unless you are working hard to keep hold of your salvation, you will not see the Lord. That's not what this is saying. It can't, because that would contradict what Jesus says. It would contradict what Paul says in other places. Salvation is of God. He is the one who began the work, and he is the one that will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now that I've offended a bunch of you out there and upset others, and some of you say, well, I'm never listening to that man again up there teaching things like that. Well, all right. Let's go on anyway. Back, at the end of the 19th century, in the late 1890s, there was a major split in the denomination that we call Methodist. And the split was over this subject of holiness and over the subject of the teachings of John Wesley and many out there who, within the Methodist ranks, who taught and believed that it is possible for to have a second work of grace that takes place in one after one is saved. And this second work of grace, which they call sanctification, now places one in a position where he or she does not sin. Now, for those of us who have been down the road a long ways with the Lord, then who were saved a long time ago, and who have seen ourselves fail over and over again, that kind of message seem sort of astounding. And yet there are those out there who believe it. I talked to a woman one time who was out of the holiness persuasion, who claimed to me that she did not sin, and if she did sin, she would lose her salvation. And I said, well, now, How many sins does it take before you would lose your salvation? And she held up her index finger and said, one. Ah, me. Ah, me. I said to her, well, how do you know that you're saved right now? The book says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. How do you know that you're saved right now? And she admitted that she didn't know. And then I said, and you have no assurance, do you, that you will ever be in heaven? And she admitted that she did not and thought that I was being presumptuous for saying that I did. Friends, I am here to tell you, and you've heard me say it before on here, if anyone will be in heaven, I will. Did you hear that? If anyone will be in heaven, I will. And someone will be there. And that someone is Jesus Christ, my Lord. And because I am in him and he is keeping me, I will be there. And it has nothing to do with my goodness or my righteousness in any way, shape, form, or fashion. No flesh will glory in his presence. And there'll be no one standing there saying in that great day, wow, aren't I a good guy? If anyone deserves to be here, I do. Look, that is not the way it works. Now let's look back at this verse again in Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. What does this possibly mean? Well, it could mean what the holiness types say. Incidentally, after the split with Methodism, the holiness groups became other denominations. Nazarenes, Pentecostal holiness, Church of God, and so on and so forth. Some speak in tongues, some do not. But all believe, basically, in this holiness business. Well, yes, follow holiness, and no man will see the Lord without holiness. But let me tell you something very surely and very certainly. My holiness is not the issue here. It is true that no man will see holiness without holiness. Or no man will see the Lord without holiness. And actually, the word without here is the Greek word choris, which means apart from. Only the holy will ever see the Lord. But if you are out there right now thinking in any way, shape, form, or fashion that your own holiness is what's at issue here, you had better stop thinking that. Because I want to tell you something. You are not holy in and of yourself. You have no holiness at all apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are holy, it's not because somehow you did something good, but because you are in him and are partaking of his holiness and his righteousness. Just that simple. And of course, no man will see the Lord apart from holiness. But that is because by grace, through faith, when you are born again, you are placed in him. You partake of everything he partakes of. You stand accepted in the place that none but Christ could claim. You are in that he has placed you, God the Father, in the Holy One, the Lord Jesus, and you are wrapped up in him, and he will not let you go. Now, here we go again. I've said this many times, and I'll have to go on saying it, unfortunately. That little pause there was because I took a sip of coffee. I've got some hot coffee here. Kind of oil up the pipes there a little bit. Look, I know that what's the great fear out there. You say, well, it has nothing to do with works. You're saved by grace through faith apart from works. Therefore, you can just go out here and then say you're saved and live any way that you want to. Oh, no, I never said anything like that. Then those of you who have been listening to me for any time at all know that I would not dare say anything like that. I know for a fact from experience, and anyone who is ever saved knows for a fact and by experience, that when salvation truly comes and takes place, there is a change in the life, a change in the heart. God changes you from the inside out, and he begins a work in you. We sing many times in church, you know, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have joy in my soul for which long I have sought. since Jesus came into my heart. And I have seen it many times, and so have you. You'll have an individual who is absolutely sinful and wretched. They get saved, and you just see a transformation in their life. And that's what we want to see, and we have to see. And if you don't see that, you have every reason to doubt that salvation has ever taken place at all. Now, those of you who are listening to me now, please listen to what I'm saying. I am not saying that after you're saved, you want to get into, you know, this kind of theological introspection where you're constantly looking at yourself, and every time you commit a sin, you think, oh, man, I must not be saved. That's not what God wants of you. That's not what He's asking of you. You are going to sin again after you're saved. Not that you have to, but that's just the way it is. That's the way it is with everyone who is honest about this. And in fact, John in his first letter says, if we say we do not sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, that confession of sin does not mean you are asking for forgiveness. As a Christian, you don't ask for forgiveness. What you do is confess the sin. That is, you agree with God about it. You call it what it is. You say to Him, that was sin, and you repent of that, and you claim the forgiveness that is yours in Christ Jesus. You're not begging God to forgive you. He has forgiven us in Christ. Then you get back to your walk with Him. But you don't have to repent for 13 weeks and whip yourself with a scourge, you know, and starve yourself to death in order to feel better about yourself. That is merely self-occupation, and that leads nowhere. You know, thinking badly about yourself, that's not what God wants of you. He doesn't want you thinking about yourself at all. You look away from yourself to Christ Jesus. And this is the true holiness. H.A. Ironside wrote a little book I recommend to all of you called Holiness, the False and the True. I believe that was Ironside. I said that off the top of my head, and I've got very little head left anymore. But Holiness, the False and the True, at least get the title. If you want to get this book, look it up online, Holiness, the False and the True. And if it's not Ironside, well, write me later on and say it wasn't Ironside. And I'll say, okay. But that is the correct title. And it is a wonderful book that covers all of this. I heartily recommend it. Holiness. Look at this. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Well, let's push this to its ultimate conclusion. Will you not see the Lord if you don't follow peace with all men? Those of you who are out there and you don't like brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, and you've got people that you don't speak to and so, is that going to keep you out of heaven? I don't think so, but I sure don't think that the Lord is pleased with you if you do that. I surely don't think that you're honoring Him if you do that. We are to follow peace with all men, and we are to follow holiness. And if we are in Christ Jesus, we are participating in and partaking of His holiness. And praise God, we shall be there because of Him, not because of ourselves. Now, I always, when I speak on this subject, I always come to the end wondering if I have really gotten across what I wanted to get across. I know right now, once again, that there are those of you out there who are going to disagree with me and who are in disagreement with me right now. I know there are those of you who believe in this second work of grace business and who really believe in sanctification and who really believe you can reach a state in this life in which you are absolutely sinless. I have never met such a person. I have never seen this sinless individual. As far as I can tell from looking at this word, there is only one sinless person, and that is Christ Jesus our Lord, the only man who ever walked this earth without sin. Now, this, of course, is, and the fact that we don't lead sinless lives, the fact that we are not holy and righteous in and of ourselves is why we need a Savior. Now, I have only dealt here with one simple single verse, and it is Hebrews 12:14. I usually try to get more verses in than that, but I didn't today, and I'm not going to because we're running out of time. We have a little more than 3 minutes left. So just let me say this at the end. If you are not saved and you are listening to me, or if you're not sure that you're saved, if you say, I don't know whether or not I'm saved, chances are you're not. It is not characteristic of the Christian to say, I don't know whether or not I'm saved. I don't know whether or not I'll be in heaven. I don't know whether or not, as I stand here right now, that I have peace with God. If that's the condition that you're in, let me tell you something. You cannot come to an assurance of salvation by following some regimen of holiness that you have laid out. You cannot write down the Ten Commandments and the principles of the Sermon on the Mount and say, there they are, I'm going to keep those, and then I'll feel good about myself. Those of us who have tried this, and I'm one of them, you know, I went that route a long time ago, back when I first got convicted about my sin and convinced absolutely that I would be in hell if I died. I thought that's how you did it, except, and I tried it. I couldn't be good for one single day. Not for one single day. I would make resolutions. I'd break them. I broke them every time. And I was a basket case. And you know what I found out is what a lot of us have found out. Salvation is not by works, because there are no works in the world that you can do that will make you acceptable to God. If salvation were by works, if we could achieve and attain to holiness by our own efforts, then what, pray tell, was the death of Jesus Christ all about? Why did he have to die? If we could be saved by our works, we cannot be saved by our work. We never could. And that is why he went to the cross. And those of you who are out there trying to save yourselves or trying to feel good about yourselves because you so badly want to be accepted by God, and you're just working and working and failing, and you're not sure that you're saved, why don't you stop that? Why would you go on and on with something that's going to land you in a mental institution? Why don't you listen to what the Bible says about him? He is our Lord and our, what? Savior, Jesus Christ. And if he is the Savior, why would anyone be trying to save themselves? It cannot be done. Why don't you simply come to him and take him at his word and lay hold on him and say, I am right now taking you as my Savior. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I see it and I know this is the truth. He wants to save you and he wants to be your holiness, without which you will never see God. This is Doug Miller and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.